Okay, guys, let's go ahead and start. Hopefully, Gangdok can hear us. So I sent out the agenda a bit late today, at this time, so this morning somewhere. Opening and welcome, that's now. So before we go into the two main topics of the call, let's go through the action points. And there are four open action points right now. The first one is action point 15, which is for me to incorporate the outcome of the trust discussion into the final report. This is something I haven't done yet because of what I was basically waiting for, the discussion with DNS OR to get a little bit clearer. But I think that we're making good progress there now. So I think I can update the document in the next few weeks. So I will leave that one open. Then we have action point 19, which is to review the requirements in Chapter 4 of the final report. And I think that Fred was going to do that because Jacques already did. Oh, no, it's Irvin. So, Irvin, can you perhaps have a look at the requirements?
Oh, I probably didn't reply to that. I did have a look. I look good.
Okay. Did you have any feedback at this point?
Not really.
Okay. So, version 0.6 of the document includes...
Yeah, the most...
So that's based on my document with it that I had major changes on, right?
Yeah. So that's the most recent version, version 0.6.
Okay.
Okay, so since now... So let's keep this one open so that we also get the feedback from Fred if he has any. Then action point 21, organize a conference call with Keith. That was Jacques' action point. That didn't work out, but you got the information, I think, and you just put it on the list. So I think we can close this one, right? Or do we need another call somewhere?
With the NSOR? No.
No. Okay. So let's close that one. At least we can close one action point. That's good. Close. All right. And set up a doodle for the next conference call. That's Gabi's, but she did that. So we're closing that one too. Okay. So that leaves us with two open action points. All right. Now, on to the main part of this conference call. So first of all, based on what Jacques emailed last week, I propose we go through two agenda items today, which is how we're going to use the TLD ops list, and perhaps we could also discuss as a second agenda point, which is actually agenda point 4 on the agenda, perhaps we could discuss a lightweight procedure for getting people on the list. But before we do that, maybe Jacques, you can briefly recap what's in the email you just sent out.
Okay. So when I chat, I asked the NSOR information about the mailing list that Zero sponsored. That was before my time, by the way. And then I got information on it. There were about 10 members on the list. And the last email on that mailing list was from 2012, but there's really no activity whatsoever on that mailing list. So I've asked OR if they could purge the list and then we work with them to define the lightweight process to onboard new member. And that's something they could do now. To get the ball rolling. And then in parallel, they're going to look at creating a subgroup inside DNS OARC, inside OpsTrust, but the DNS OARC part of OpsTrust. Mm-hmm. And they're looking at that now. Keith and William from the DNS OARC. William is the software developer, if you want, over there. And he started to look at the OpsTrust software, and it's kind of messy. So they said it's a good thing that we start with the interim mailing list until they can get the code in better shape for the NSOR to use.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
And then in support of getting the TLD ops mailing list back in business, Sierra donated $10,000 to OR to regenerate that mailing list and get them more traction.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, so yeah. So thanks for that, Jock.
No issues with that. No. Is that list okay to do that? I guess yeah.
Yeah. So just out of curiosity, why was this mailing list established back in 2004?
To do what we're doing now.
Okay.
Only took 10 years.
Yeah, I know.
All right, good. Well, it's a good thing to know that it was actually, you know, created for the same purpose that we're pursuing right now. So that's a good thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Jack, can I just ask you, so there are people on it right now, or if the list is just there without anyone subscribed to it?
They're going to purge the list soon, and they're going to let us know how to onboard new members.
Okay. So that won't, the old one won't be, won't, will not be there?
That's right.
Okay, thank you.
Did they say something, Jack, about how long they were going to... how long we can use, for how long we can use this email, this mailing list?
Forever.
Is it like a fixed? Forever. Okay.
Yeah.
That's a good thing. Okay.
I think once we have the new system in place, we should shut it down.
Yeah, of course. But I was just, you know, if there is a time limit, then this will also put pressure on the development trajectory for Ops Trust.
Yeah. No.
Yeah. Okay. So I raised a few questions in the email I sent out this morning. One of them is if we all agree to go ahead with this path, and I think we should, but I don't think we ever formally discussed if we should do it. So if you have any objections, then we should, and then please say it now. But I think it's a very good. Yeah,
the other thing I worry about is both doing the mailing list and the subgroup on the Upstream Press form. Is it too much duplicate work there if it's so close together in time?
I don't think that. I think that what Jacques just said is the correct situation, in that if the Ops Trust system is going to be available, then we're going to shut down this mailing list. So it's a temporary solution.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if we should just wait a little bit more and not do the mailing list if it's so close together, or if we maybe should skip the part of having the subgroup on the OpsC platform and just go for the mailing list and then wait for our own infrastructure and the end of the quarter.
Yeah, I think.
I'm just wondering if it's too much work to go to mailing list, then do OpsC, and then do our own in three different steps, or if we should...
Oh, okay. Now I understand what you mean. Okay. Yeah.
I think we should do this mailing list, TLD Ops, and then wait until Ops Trust runs their own system, and then we can migrate there properly instead of doing three migrations.
Yeah, so skip the part about having a subgroup on the OpsC platform. Let's go directly to the DNSOR platform.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
I think the if DNSOR is unable to get the code running, then we look at using a subgroup. I think that would be the alternative.
Yeah. Or perhaps if it's like extremely expensive to get the Ops Trust system customized for our purposes, then we might also want to do that. But I think that plan A is the mailing list, which is what we're doing right now. And then we have plan B, which is an Ops Trust group subgroup on the existing Ops Trust platform. And then we have plan C, which is actually the the goal, right, where we want to end up, which is a separate off-trust system for CTTLD purposes. Right?
Yeah.
Okay.
So I was more thinking about in the timeline in steps. We start off the mailing list right now.
Yeah.
Then we go to an unmodified platform on the DNS org platform, and then go look into the modifications in three steps.
Yeah, we might also do two. That's your point.
And then have the subgroup as a backup option if any of those steps don't work out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
But don't do it as migration in between.
Yeah, good point. Okay, but I think the consensus, at least for the people in the call right now, is that we first do the mailing list, then try to go for the end goal, which is the separate customized off-trust system for CCTLDs, and if that fails, go back to the unmodified off-trust platform with CCTLD specific subgroup. That's going to be a strategy, right?
Let's say that. Yes.
Okay. All right. So. And the other thing that I was wondering is about the cost, but we just discussed that, so that's no longer an issue. And the third thing
eventually there might be a cost with the Ops Trust platform on DNS Org, right? That we don't know yet.
Yeah, I know. But I was talking about the mailing list, about this mailing list.
Yeah, we're all good.
Yeah. And then I was wondering, how are we going to use the mailing list? Are we going to use it as, well, its intended purpose, which is a mailing list, but that implies that we're actually doing the messaging service that we talked about before, right? The messaging service that's in the draft of the report. And because the thing that we initially focused on was the contact repository. So basically my question is, how do we shape the mailing list as a contact repository? Is it basically the number of everyone who subscribed to the list and then, you know, allow people to send a command? Because I'm assuming it's a mailman list, right?
Yeah.
Okay. So mailman allows people to send commands to the mailman server, like I think it's a who command or an info command, and then you get back the list of subscribers. Is that how we see the mailing list in terms of the contact repository?
Yeah.
Okay.
To start? Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Just checking that we're all on the same page.
Otherwise it will just turn into like the NANOC list where it's just like, is anyone here from .bt? Can you contact me off list?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that makes sense.
Which might work as well, because the list will not really be secure.
Yep.
But the one good thing about the mailing list is that we can get people on the list that have an interest in the service we're developing and maybe start a discussion there as well on what they want and get some more feedback from the community. Mm.
I'm asking because at some point we will need to come up with, you know, the lightweight procedure, and we will also need to explain what the mailing list is going to be used for.
And
the typical use.
Well, seeing that the list in phase one will not be secure, I think the only thing it really can be used for is one, information and discussion about the phases that will follow. And the other one is to get people in contact with each other and then have them exchange secure information or sensitive information directly with each other.
Yeah, so it's like a bootstrapping service or a discovery service or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, that's good.
Because it's unsecure. Okay.
That's perfectly fine for phase one.
Yeah, I agree. Okay. Excellent. Yeah, and then my last question was how are we going to position the mailing list? Are we going to position it as a pilot? It's similar to a pilot, right? Because our end goal is to have a separate system based on Ops Trust. So you might consider this a pilot?
Iterum?
It's a phase one thing, like Irvin just said.
Yeah, pilot is not the right word, but I think in Iterum or whatever that word is.
Intermediary solution?
We can call it beta.
Beta. Hmm. All right, good.
Interim,
yeah. Beta is also nice.
That's really bad. Interim.
It's less permanent. More permanent interim than pilot is. We could shut it down.
Yeah. Yeah, that's not it. No. Yeah. Or maybe we should just call it, the contract repository version 1.0 or something.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. I think we're all on the same page here on what to, what this mailing list is about. All right. So that was agenda item number 3, I think, and then number 4 about the lightweight admission process. I think this is something that we already discussed previously, and also there's some text in the document somewhere. I looked it up. It was section, 6.2. So I think what we agreed upon previously was to ask CCTLD managers for the two contacts that they would like to have on the list. My proposal is that we continue down this path. What do you guys think?
How can we tell that Katrina is in charge of .lv and not the other guy? Who do we know?
That's a bootstrapping problem.
The simplest way is to use the email addresses from IATA. I just posted the link in the chat room. Not subscribe that address, but use them to verify the address that wants to subscribe.
TLD 2009 and MIN?
That's before my time, but yes.
So...
hold on, guys. I have a very slow internet connection here. I'm not getting anything through.
Well, it basically has an administrative and a technical contact for each TLD.
Okay.
Including an email address, so... That's the easiest way to find out that 0.ca is actually running .ca. That should work for every CCTLD.
Or what if it's Erwin at dk-hostmaster.dk part matches your domain, then you're good. So I sent a sample email this morning, right? Yoshiro Yoneya at gprs.co.jp. He actually sent a request to the TLD ops mailman.
But how do you know that gprs.co.jp is running JP?
Then you go to the list you sent? Ayana?
Mm-hmm.
And then JP?
Yeah, so just use the same page, but just look at the domain name instead of actually sending an email to verify.
jprs.co.jp, it matches. And then you CC the admin contact to tell them that they were added.
Well, we always do it if someone wants to be added to one of our email lists, someone, let's say from the registry, let's say Christian wants to be added to, let's say, the member's email list, and he sends me an email, then I always go to what is our primary contact, and I ask him, is it okay to add Christian? So I would suggest perhaps that you should use the technical contact in the IANA database as a primary, so if you want to add anyone else, then maybe the primary contact needs to confirm.
The admin contact.
Yeah, that might work.
I mean, the technical contact in the IANA base might want to confirm that, yes, it's okay to add this other person. But I can also tell you that the contacts in the IANA database are not always, they don't always work. I know this by experience. So you might get a lot of CCTLDs on there, but you won't reach everyone.
Hmm. Now we got to start somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm just saying that perhaps the method of, because I always have to, for even if I know you, Christian, I know it's you work for the .nl registry, I still, for formal reason, need to go to Roloff, who's our main contact, and ask him to approve you.
So that's the question I have.
Yeah.
That the list you have is the list of CEOs?
That I have? Or
yeah, because Byron is not the admin contact, right?
No, well, we have a CCNSO database, which is not entirely the same as the IANA database. So what we're doing is that we have a primary contact in our database, and Roloff is our primary contact in the CCNSO database. So our first place to go is the CCNSO database and check who's our primary contact, and in this case it's Roloff. However, let us say that Roloff would, I don't know, leave SIDN and would not have appointed another primary contact. In that case, we go to the IANA database and check who's the administrative contact for any such request. And this happens quite frequently, actually, that someone leaves, our primary contact leaves and doesn't appoint anyone else. And then we require whoever is in the IANA database, we need an email from that email address to ask for any changes to our email list.
Christian,
so, you know, your trust anchor is basically the administrative contact.
In the bitter end, yes. Like as I said, we have our own database, but if whatever we have in our database doesn't work anymore, then we always have the IANA database as a backup. Yes.
So I have a new process. So if we get an email from a secure member that wants to join, we send the email to Gab or Christina at ICANN, and they approve, and then we don't have anything to do.
Sure. Yeah. As long as we have a clear process to follow, that's actually not a big deal for us. But we really need, we need really a clear process where to go to ask and approve. Otherwise, the rest is not that, you know, complicated. So,
We might follow Jacques' approach, at least initially, for this mailing list.
Mm-hmm.
Because, it's basically not that much different from an existing CCNSO mailing list.
Yeah, it's not a problem, not at all. As long as we really know what the process is, then it's not a problem.
Mm. Okay. What do you think, Urban?
Yeah, I just wonder if we need to send the email or not. It's the list might not be that secure, but I'm just looking at the JPRS contract for the tech contract. It's JPRS.JP. Who knows if they got JPRS.CO.JP, and if someone from JPRS.CO.JP is sending. I mean, Yes, I know JPRACE is running .jp, but for whatever weird CCTV, I don't know how to map the CCTV with a company name and their address. So it might be easy to just use the IANA database always to have a much clearer process and just send an email to the technical contract every time. At least it makes the process clear. It's a bit more work sometimes, but it's clearer.
But then you would use the administrative contact, right? Not the technical contact.
I don't care. One of them. I think it's a mostly technical list, so I would use the tech contact, but we could use the admin contact as well.
Jake is the technical contact here, and I'm the admin, so I make decisions. He doesn't.
We can use admin, that's fine. Here's the other way around. It's Lisa that's on the admin contact. I don't make the decisions here. I'm with the tech contact. But just choose one of them and always send an email to confirm.
To both?
No, just choose add or admin or technical and send one email. If you want to do the admin, fine. Let's take the admin.
Okay, so but in your proposal, Erwin, what would be the steps of the procedure? You would first send an email.
The step would be there it is. So I would send an email to subscribe to the list from Erwin at dkhostmaster.tk. Then the list administrator is going to send an email to tld2009admin@dkhostmaster.tk to confirm that Erwin at dkhostmaster.tk is a technical contact for dkhostmaster, which is the administrative contact for .dk in the IANA database.
Okay.
Do we always have to send the confirmation email, even if it's clear from, let's say, the IANA database URU?
Well, that's the question. If you want a clear, very simple process, you always send the email because then you always have the confirmation.
Yeah, I would have that traceability in there. That would be good. If you want to have that traceable. Yeah.
Yeah.
The request is sent to whom? To the admin contact?
What was that?
Who should I send the confirmation to?
The admin contact in the IANA database.
The admin contact in the IANA database. What if I know that Erwin is Erwin, but the admin doesn't reply? That happens to, I can tell you. Especially in Asian countries where...
Then you send an email to Erwin saying...
Okay. Well, I can just tell you that I know in some Asian countries, for hierarchical issues, they put someone really high level in the admin contact just because for hierarchical issues. And the ones that we actually deal with, they never actually deal with them. So it's more or less, I don't know, because they're far more high up in the hierarchy and it's hard for them to get hold of them. But okay, I understand that these are just exceptions, but I'm saying these things can happen.
But Gabi, would you, let's say if we take Erwin's approach, would you be willing to be the list administrator, and then if somebody requests to join the list, pass that message on to the IANA administrative contact and, you know, wait for confirmation and administer the whole lot?
Sure, I can do that, no problem. I'm just a little bit scared about the workload in the beginning, especially if I have to send a confirmation email to every request, but I can overcome that, that's okay.
I would also propose not to do everybody at the same time, but maybe do it in batches.
Yeah.
So start with a batch of five, and then another batch of five, and then if we gain more confidence, then do a few more at the same time.
Okay. That's okay.
Now this is actually is this similar to what you proposed, John?
Oh yeah, because they already have processes in place. And it works.
So the one thing I'm wondering is, do we want to directly migrate the subscribers from the mailing list to the new platform when it's ready, or do we want to start from scratch subscribing new people?
The focus is to, the focus is to onboard security contacts.
I'm just thinking, if the mailing list is less secure than the final platform we're going to run, we might have a more loose subscription process, what a mailing list then will have for the real platform in the end.
This is also why the purpose of the mailing list is important, because if we say that this mailing list is primarily meant for getting contact information from other people, so I'm sending an email to the list asking, okay, who's the contact for .dk? Please send me your information, and I get a response from Irvin, you know, out of band, so to speak, then this doesn't convey a whole lot of sensitive information. And therefore, the security requirements could probably be a bit lower than if we would have a mailing list that would actually carry the actual incident messages or something like that.
Yeah, so, that would mean that Gabby doesn't have to send an email for each and everyone. But on the other hand, it means we'll have to start with a new procedure to get people on board the final platform.
Yeah, so my feeling is that right now, this procedure that we just discussed with, you know, people sending a request to the mailing list, then Gabby checking with the IANA contact if this is the person who he says he is, that this is sufficient for this mailing list. It's not completely secure, but it's sufficient for a phase one mailing list, I would say. Then if we have the final platform, then it also depends on the functionality that the platform provides and what kind of information will be exchanged on that platform if this particular procedure is secure enough.
Yes.
So I think the answer is we don't know if this... I don't think that we can say at this point if the best solution eventually is to, let's say, simply transfer people from this mailing list to the eventual system or start all over again. I don't know. So my feeling is that it depends.
The onboarding process that we just talked about, so somebody sends a request to join, and then we have a process where I can to validate if they're good or not, and then add them to the list, is not going to be really different from the true OpsTrust model, where the same procedure would need to apply to onboard members. So if we do it right in the beginning, then it can just be migrated as is without rebootstrapping everything.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, that would be the preferred option.
Because in 3 years, once we're fully running on OpsTrust, and then I decide to... Joe Blow here is a new employee and he's part of the security group. He's going to send a request in, and then Gab's going to ask me, is this a legit contact? And I go, yes, and then we add him.
Mm-hmm.
It's not going to be different than we should do it the way we want to start.
Okay. So do you think that this process is generic enough to be applied to the eventual system as well?
I don't see how different it can be. That's the point.
Okay, because let's say if you, in more advanced scenarios, you could even work with, public keys and verifying people and that sort of thing.
I verify that they have the correct keys, but do they really belong to the organization? That's a human decision, right?
Yeah.
Let's say we have a secure mailing list and my software developer wants to join. I'm going to deny that request because he's not the security person.
Yep. Okay. Okay, so to cut this discussion short, I think that we should go ahead with the current procedure. And I think that there's also at least a feeling with Jacques that this procedure will also suffice for the future. Okay?
Yes, I agree.
Okay. So maybe I should take the action point to write down the procedure very briefly in a few steps and then share that on the list so that we can comment on it. It's not that difficult, but I think we will need to write it down at some point, so might as well do it right now. Well, I'll take that action point. Okay. Well, it sounds very good. So not much to discuss there, I guess. Okay. So that was the lightweight admission procedure. Then the next agenda item is the summary for the community. Okay. I will do that, of course, based on what we just talked about. I will mention that we will use a mailing list, which is being hosted by OARC. And I will mention that this is an intermediary solution or intermediary service or something like that, intermediary service. And we're currently drafting the admission procedure. Those are the three main points, right? Or do I need to add anything else?
You should thank Sarah.
Yeah, of course.
Oh, no, don't make it too public.
Or okay. Up to you.
Okay. Okay. All right. That sounds good. So that brings us almost at the end of the agenda, except for the any other business. Jacques, any other business?
No.
Okay. Erwin, anything else?
Nope.
No? Okay. Maybe Gengda. I'm not sure if he joined the call through in the chat room. Did you get any response from Gengda, Gabi?
No. He doesn't seem to hear us.
Okay. Oh, that's too bad. Okay. I don't have anything else myself either. So I will draft the
Christian,
mission procedure.
Christian, can I just ask again, Jacques, whatever information you could get about costs, that would be great. If you could, you know, whatever you could find out, that would be really good if we could get some information.
About what?
About the final list, what that would cost.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
The final one. Mm.
Yeah, but the customization of the Optrust platform.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you, Gabi. That's a good point.
And also for running it, if there is a cost for that, so not only the customization but also the running, etc.
Yeah. Okay. Last cost info. Okay. So I will draft the admission procedure. I will just put it in the document right away so that we have it in place where it belongs. Okay. So thank you, everyone. I think we're now making good progress. Pretty cool.
Are we going to have a call? When are we going to have a call next time? Next year or?
Let me look in my agenda. I don't think I will have a whole lot of time before the Christmas holidays.
Mm.
I'm not sure about you guys.
No.
If we need to provision the TLD ops mailing list, we can always define the process through email. Mm-hmm. Like all of us telling the NSO work, this is the procedure we want to follow to add onboard new members. And I think that's all we need
yeah.
for now.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, so we could try to organize a, try to organize an additional call just before the Christmas holidays, but should we do that? No. Let's try to do it through email.
Yeah. Yeah. To start, we're good.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, so maybe then we, Gabi, maybe you can send out a doodle for the maybe first or second week of January.
Okay. We'll do that.
Okay, cool. Great. So thanks, everybody. And talk to you guys next time.
All right.
All right. Thank you.
See you.
Bye. Bye.
Bye.